This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday.
Sean and I would be horrible farmers.
Oh.
Sean and I were just talking about during the break. Our money is a lot. We make a lot more money during the football season.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, every March, it's because we're still getting paid in February for stuff we did in January.
Yeah.
Every March, we're like, hey, what the hell? What am I going to pay for college tuition with in this month?
It's bad.
So if you and I had like one big grain harvest a year, we'd be screwed. come November, you're like, wait, whoa,
Seth,
where's all this money that was there last time?
Ben, do not put a farm in the book of big business ideas for Payne and Pendergast. All right,
we can be a farm, but it's got to be more diversified.
Yeah,
we got to have like multiple. We can't just be like grain farm. Farmers, where you get your one big payday at the end of the season.
So yeah. True. Oh my God. Yeah. Seth and I was telling Seth during the break. I'm like, oh, we get our Texans game day pay and this check coming up. Oh, time to light those cigars with $100 bills. Let's go.
I was so pissed off last March at the pay cut that I should have seen coming 12 months prior.
Yeah, like work you weren't doing anymore.
That I totally knew was coming because it comes every year.
It is true,
man. Wait, whoa.
Yeah.
I call up Aaron, our
do everything. Yeah.
Our woman who does everything for us. Yeah. Hey, Aaron.
Hey.
I'm not going to go into the HR portal. What the hell happened to my paycheck?
Where's my bag? Oh, man, I love football season. All right. Let's bring the mood down a little bit. Here's D'Amico Ryans on the entirety of the injury situation. This is a sobering one for the Houston Texans.
Just start off just the injury update. Stan Stover hurt his foot, so he'll miss some time. Really hate that. He's playing tough, physical, exactly how we want it done. So he'll miss some time, so we'll have to, upgrade our tight end room from that perspective. Andrews rolled his ankle, so he'll be day-to-day, see how that goes. Berrios and Kirk are doing well on their recovery. We'll see how they go this week. No timetable set right now for those guys.
So the only ones out of all the guys he just named, and I like that he didn't name Stingley in that, Seth, with the,
yeah.
He was asked about injuries in general, and he wasn't even asked. Like, D'Amico came into the press conference
and said.
That was
his opening statement.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. So he was unprompted. So I like that Stingley and there's at least nothing to the extent that he felt the need to inform us on it going on with Stingley and that hip. To me, and I think to you as well and to many people, it looked like it was affecting him in that game. We'll see. This will be a big injury report today because we'll see if the Stingley thing is lingering at all. We'll get some clarity, I think. For sure, we'll get at least a little bit of clarity on Berrios and Kirk, who didn't practice at all last week. So keep in mind, Kirk, if they're limited today, that's progress.
Yeah. Kirk, initially, I believe it was reported as, I think the team said 2 weeks at least. So I guess there's some room for maneuvering there. Is like, okay, do they mean he could be back in 2 weeks, or is he going to be out at least two weeks? Berrios, a little bit of a mystery too. So I just, one of those two guys could make a big difference. I think there were some times in the game where I think that both the rookie receivers, it wasn't quite as crisp or what you're going to get out of a veteran wide receiver, but they're going to keep using Higgins. They're going to keep developing him.
Yeah.
With the slot receiver, I think CJ's going to feel a lot more comfortable with Kirk out there than with Jalen Nolan. That's not a criticism of Jalen Nolan or anything. I've been saying since the day they drafted him, slot receiver is not a simple thing, especially in an offense like this. So that trust factor, that option in the quick game when there are blitzes or when protection breaks down, Kirk could be a huge advantage over what we saw last week, or a huge improvement over what we saw last
week.
Man,
it would be nice to get him back. I'll take one of them back, but it would be nice to get both of them back. And if I had to choose, it would be Kirk that I would bring back.
I'd like to see Berrios out there as a returner.
That's true. For sure. The tight end position, the only one going on IR out of all these guys D'Amico just named is Cade Stover. So he's going to miss at least four games. It's a broken foot. They're calling Harrison Bryant up to the 53-man roster. They did yesterday off of the practice squad. So he comes right up and he replaces Cade Stover on the roster. Nick Caserio was on Texans All Access earlier this week and talked further about avenues to seek out help at the tight end position.
Fortunately, that's just part of football. So we're going through it. Other teams are going through it. So that was a strength going into the year. So we've lost some players that we felt were going to help us, but nothing we really do about it other than try to come up with a solution. We've talked about this, kind of have some of our depth off the roster, whether it's internally or if there's a player externally on another practice squad or under the roster or on the street that might be able to come in and give us some snaps. So we'll look at everything and try to do what we feel makes the most sense. Yep.
Nothing yet. Nothing yet off the street.
They went into last week with two tight ends. They played a whole lot of three wide receiver sets. That means you only have one tight end on the field in those situations. And you can look at that two ways. One is, okay, cool, so they're going to keep operating the same way. The other is like, wait, so they're going to keep operating the same way as last week when they didn't score a touchdown?
Yeah, right.
That's not what I want to hear or see. So I think that at the very least, I think they were comfortable going into the game last week with two tight ends. Harrison Bryant can block. You know, he's got limited upside as a receiver, most likely, unless they unlock something in his potential. But I feel like they could go into the game feeling like they can run their offense with Harrison Bryant in there. Beyond that, it's probably, I would imagine Nick's had a few phone calls about guys who are out there, and maybe we see something. Today's like a normal Wednesday. So if they traded for somebody and he actually was in the facility by today or tomorrow, then maybe you could see him get used. But there's not a whole lot of scuttlebutt out there about names or possibilities.
I've got two wishes as to possible solutions. One is somebody who I was bugging Nick about 2 years ago to draft because he was from Notre Dame. But Michael Mayer is with the Raiders, and he's a backup to Brock Bowers. Like, he's a second-round pick, but he's been kind of minimized because they – you know, Brock Bowers gets 100 catches a year now. So, float a fifth rounder and see if you can go bring in my guy Michael Mayer. Better late than never. The other one, Mike and Cy Fair espouses here on the text page. No real tight ends, four wides, run and shoot, LFG. Me and Mike and Cy Fair are on a crusade to have the 2025 Texans be an homage to the Warren Moon Oilers. Four wides, spread them out, especially if you get the two little water bugs back in Berrios and Kirk, and let's go.
Yeah. This is what you need to know about four wide. Even the king of the air raid in the NFL, Cliff Kingsbury, does not use four wide all that often. It just makes it too predictable for defenses, and it just handcuffs the offense too much. But lining up, four wide, either with a running back or a tight end. Sure, you see that all the time.
No, that's not what I want. I want four wide receivers.
Want four wide. Yeah.
When I say wide, I mean wide receivers. Yes.
I mean, there's elements of the run and shoot that are similar to what the Texans or like a Josh McDaniels, Bill O'Brien, Nick Cayley type offense does now, which is a lot of option routes and everything. So, that's the run and shoot had a lot of, trickle down effects into football in general.
Yep.
But I think the biggest thing is whether you're lined up with everybody all bunched up in the middle, condensed formations, versus, hey, let's spread it out and let's just give CJ some. One thing that happens when you do that is it does make it easier for the quarterback to identify the blitzes. And so here's the risk reward in that. When you spread everything out, you don't have as many blockers, so your options are limited if the defense does decide to blitz. What you do get, though, is if you see some of these simulated pressures where everybody's up at the line of scrimmage, a defense is really exposing themselves on the backside if that's what you're doing when all the receivers are out wide.
Yeah.
So they have to be a little bit more careful about that, and it's and it all depends on, you know, the particular team you're facing, how you feel about your quarterback's ability to handle it. But, yeah, spreading it out makes it easier for CJ to say, like, all right, well, there's only one guy who could blitz in this situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Makes it a lot simpler to set the protection.
You might like that.
And they had success doing that later in the game, so they might we might see more of that this next week.
Maybe so. Maybe so. D'Amico,
and also, if Ariante Ursary is barely going to slow a guy down anyway, what's the harm?
Yes. Let's just get it out fast, man. Yeah. D'Amico Ryans at his press conference earlier this week, it was brought up to him that Azeez Al-Shaair described himself as sort of the emotional regulator, I guess, of the defense. Here was D'Amico Ryans on the importance of Azeez Al-Shaair.
Azeez is, he's matured so much as a leader for me, working with Azeez as a rookie in 2019 and where he is now. I see so much growth, so much leadership in him. I mean, you want somebody to talk to the team, he's the guy. So if it's the emotional regulator, he does that. He has a really great pulse of the locker room because of his connection with everyone. Like, Azeez is a guy, he can communicate with anyone very well. He can encourage you. He can give you some philosophy. He can, he's a wise young man, and I'm happy to have him in our locker room where he can guide a lot of our players.
Okay, I got a follow-up question to this, Seth, to you, but I want to play one more from D'Amico, because the follow-up to D'Amico was, is there an emotional regulator like Azeez on the offensive side of the ball for the Texans?
It's a whole team, Cam. It's a whole team. I said the one guy that really stands out in there is Azeez, just for our entire team. I think from a standpoint, we have a lot of young guys, and Azeez is a guy who's seen it in a lot of in different teams. He's been on different multiple teams. He knows how I operate. He knows what, you know, I expect more so than anyone on the team. So he's the guy that I think that our entire team can lean on.
This was what made this interesting to me, Seth, was sort of a kind of a dovetail off of the post-game show that Clint and I did on Sunday after the game, where you ask D'Amico who's the emotional regulator of the offense, and he doesn't come up with a name. It's Azeez is sort of the guy for the whole team. One of the things that Clint brought up as a concern, especially when talking about Nico only getting five targets, is like, who's the guy on defense, or on offense, I should say, that walks up to the coaches or walks up to the other guys on the team or says, hey, Nico only has three targets and we're in the end of the third quarter of this game. Like, who's the guy? Because Azeez is definitely that guy on the defense that grabs the defense by the lapel. They've got a few guys like that, I think. Who's that guy on offense for
there
this
was,
team?
The whole thing about Nico and the targets in that game was there were some really nice moments where Nico was open in that game. It kind of coincided with moments where the pass protection was breaking down or where there was a really good blitz dialed up or whatever it might be that. And then there were a couple times where I think CJ could have thrown it to Nico, but didn't for whatever reason. The one Dalton Schultz throw to the sideline early in the game, the to the right sideline that I think that was the one that he bobbled. I mean, it looked like Azeez was open down the middle of
Nico,
the field on that one.
Yeah.
Or Nico,
yeah.
Nico.
Yep.
Azeez was open too.
He was wide open.
Decision. But like by and large, after watching Nico, it's not like they couldn't get him open. It was kind of the circumstances of the game. And again, because when it's third and long, especially, that's when it's going to be tougher to get the ball to Nico for what you want him for.
Yeah.
I'm not as concerned as I was immediately after the game. But, yeah, you don't want it to be a recurring event. I'm glad that he brought up Nico in general, though, because I think that immediately when you talk about, okay, emotional regulator on offense, the quarterback's got his role, and sometimes that guy is it, but usually more so it's not. Michael Irvin was a guy who was just famous for that, for being like the guy that did it everything the right way, was also like one of the biggest producers on the team, but that really just had a way of motivating his teammates and had that kind of personality. And I don't know if they have that guy on offense.
I don't either.
Right now.
And he had the trust from the coaches to be able to be that guy too. Like, he had a great relationship with Jimmy Johnson. If you, I,
Yeah, he's Jimmy Johnson's informant early in
Yeah, what I was going to say, like, he had such trust with Jimmy Johnson, and they outlined this in the second episode of the Cowboys documentary. I've not finished it yet. I got a few more episodes. But yeah, literally, Michael Irvin, who was a rookie in Tom Landry's last year, was a second-year guy in Jimmy Johnson's first year. So there's still all these old remnants of the old Cowboys in the locker room. Michael Irvin basically went to Jimmy Johnson and handed him a list and said, these are the guys that aren't all in on your your way of doing things, Jimmy. And Jimmy found a way to get rid of all of those guys. And it worked.
Nick Chubb, Nick Chubb's a lead by example type of guy, I think, you know, and it's awesome to have him on. I've been really impressed with Nick Chubb and just his lack of ego. I mean, the other day, Sean, we were talking about Nick Chubb, and it just kind of hit me. I was like, man, we're talking about Nick freaking Chubb.
Yeah.
And it's almost like as if you'd say the same things about a Gumbawale or somebody, because he just seems to go out and work and want to play football. And he easily could have come in, I think, with a big ego, but that's not who he is. Everybody in Cleveland will tell you that. But he's also, he doesn't have that Michael Irvin type of personality or just that kind of,
no.
I mean, it's nice if you have a made man on the offensive line who is just an absolute head smasher, but also, you know, a good leader.
Yep.
And that, they just don't have that guy right now.
Nope. Maybe it evolves. Who knows? All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Our football talk in this segment is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight is Sylvester Stallone, people. Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus. All right, up next, I still think to this day, this is the biggest disconnect between fans and players in the NFL. This is the biggest disconnect. It was outlined by a now former player. We will let you hear that coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Funny follow-up to the previous segment, someone texts in, damn, so now CJ isn't an offensive leader? What are we talking about, fellas? I think CJ's an offensive leader. I think some of the quotes that we got from CJ in this press conference after the Rams game were actually very encouraging to me.
We were talking about emotional regulator.
Yeah.
We weren't saying leader.
Yeah.
So that, those are, it's not a direct synonym there.
Yeah, right.
And I think a lot of times your quarterback – can't. It's I don't prefer that my quarterback be the emotional regulator of a team.
Right.
They got enough stuff going on, like on a play by on a series by series basis.
I think it's fair to wonder if CJ is approaching a frustration level with things. I think when he talks about the lollygagging and he talks about going through the motions, he was very conscious of including himself in that. But he wasn't talking about just himself clearly. And then the fact that he didn't practice very well throughout the week. I mean, that's kind of a damning thing towards the coaches too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess, I should have prefaced everything with like, I kind of leave quarterbacks out of that because it's just it's a different role. Yeah. Tom Brady's had his moments where he has emotional outbursts and everything, but, you look to the Patriots teams, various guys at times, the guys that you kind of look at as the firebrands of the team, Gronkowski. Offenses are tricky. Maybe it's just not as simple as on defense you can have a guy like Azeez Elsher.
Who's got a bit of a wild, like a live wire element to him.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was probably Andre Johnson for all those Kubiak teams, you know, mm-hmm. and Andre is largely not very demonstrative unless you piss him off. And then he gets very demonstrative. Ask Cortland Finnegan and ask Matt Schaub. He will either beat the crap out of you or he'll walk off the field at the end of a game.
Yeah. So kind of like asking for offensive players too. It's a more cerebral side of the ball. It's almost like asking who's your most violent English literature major?
A little more finesse to the offensive side of things.
Probably. Ironically enough, Azeez Elshire's grandfather was the poet laureate of Tampa for many, many years.
No kidding.
Yeah. Now
that is a factoid right there.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. All right, biggest disconnect between fans, what fans think players want, and what players by and large actually want. And I'm talking about players after they leave football. We've talked about this before. With J.J. Watt, actually, when D'Amico Ryans got hired, I was shocked at the number of people who were like, oh, he's going to bring in J.J. Watt to coach the defensive line, and this is going to be amazing, without really acknowledging the fact that J.J. Watt has to want to coach the defensive line. He can't get drafted into it.
The funniest was people thinking they wanted Tony Romo as their offensive coordinator, where it's clear, it's very clear that Tony Romo does not want to work coaches' hours.
No, he barely wants to work announcers' hours. So Teron Armstead, I don't recall which podcast this was on, so I apologize, but he told a story about Sean Payton, who was his coach in New Orleans for a time, when Sean Payton got to Denver, he reached out when Teron Armstead retired, Payton was already in Denver, he reached out to Teron Armstead about coaching.
Sean Payton called me 2 days after I retired, and he said he wanted me to come coach for him. Maybe not right now. I don't have to go right now because I just retired. But he's like, but if one day, he said that he think I'll be a great coach in this league, and he wants me to come out there to Denver to coach. I said, Sean, I appreciate you, but no, I'm not doing it. Especially not with him, because his hours are just it's not for me. No,
you know, the thing is too, because obviously the difference in hours especially in the off season for between players and coaches is just so it's such an extreme difference. But also it is, I mean, like most good players know that if they're going to go into coaching, that it's not necessarily a requirement of the job that you work those hours. It's partly also that the obsession takes over and that you just, it's that kind of a job that you know you're, it's almost like committing to the priesthood. You know, like I'm committing to more than just working long hours.
Yeah.
I'm committing to a whole lot of sacrifices.
Celibacy.
And I'm almost afraid that I might be I'm almost afraid that if I commit to coaching that I'm really going to like it. And then, because what goes alongside that too, and I, you know what, I don't think I understood this when I was done playing. I know there were reasons I didn't want to be a coach, but I mean, part of it is it's the losses are harder on coaches than on players. Players, you always have your own individual performance that you can analyze and that, you know, you can feel bad about or good about. But coaches, even really mentally tough coaches who would never admit to it, I think there's an embarrassment level when you lose a game. Like it cuts to your core that, oh, this is, I don't want to be feeling this way, but I'm embarrassed by that loss.
Well,
and that you feel like it's a reflection of yourself as a person almost, more so than when you're, even when you're a player that has a bad game or whatever, it's just you got more control over that. Coaching, there's so much that's out of your control, and you've got multiple guys that you're trying to motivate or try to figure out and everything. It's just so stressful in a way that whether the hours were the same or not, it's just there's a different level of mental stress that goes into it, I think.
Especially in football, because the scarcity of games and the proportion of time spent preparing to time spent playing games is so disparate in football compared to the, like, you are doing things every day, all week, to get ready for 60 minutes that you might know 2 minutes into this 60 minutes, it's going to be miserable today. Like everything we did all week, all this work we put in, all these hours we put in, all this time I spent away from my family, all these things, it was like none of it matters. Like we are 3 minutes into this game, I can tell we are completely overmatched. We're not executing, whatever the case may be. And the good, that's when you say that, Seth, like how miserable it is for coaches. The good teams lose 6 games a year.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not like college where like the good coaches go 11-1 and you got to deal with one loss or two losses or whatever. Like the good coaches in the NFL go 11-6 and you lose 6 times during the year.
That's the I think, you know, Tron Armstrong might end up being a coach, but it's always best for players, especially, to at least take a couple years. I mean, that's what D'Amico did. D'Amico, it was a year or two, I think, before he decided to get back into coaching. And then you jump in as a grad assistant, or not a grad assistant, a quality controller, whatever it is, and a special assistant, and you see whether you can handle those hours, whether it's for you and everything. But it's a lot to go from being as an athlete where no matter how hard you work, your hours are just not going to be the same as a coach's, to like saying like, yep, I'm ready to go. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
But my body still hurts a lot too at this moment. So you gotta kind of feel like, okay, what am I? Because a lot of guys think they're going to be full-time dads, and then they realize it a year or two into it. Like, all right, I'm not wired this way to be a full-time dad. I need something outside. I need to hunt and gather, you know, in some way.
Well, now the good thing about being a coach is you come away with some good stories, at least. And we know that because John Gruden is now spending time with the folks at Barstool, just, you know, telling stories of his coaching career and analyzing players and things like that. Recently, he sat down, watched a game with all the Barstool guys, right?
Yeah. It looked like some kind of viewing party.
Yeah, viewing party. And he got talking about Sebastian Janikowski, a kicker who he selected in the first round back in the day, or the Raiders did. And was for a spell there when he first got into the NFL, was not handling the transition into the NFL all that well.
We were playing when I was with the Raiders. We drafted Janikowski in the first round.
Yep.
Janikowski, he was missing field goals the first 3 games, and I was really pissed. So we went to play the Saints in New Orleans, and Janikowski's late for curfew.
Of course
he didn't get back until 3:00 in the morning, so now I'm really pissed. He can't make field goals, and he can't make curfew. So we're playing, I swear, we get the opening kickoff, might have been the second possession. We get a couple first downs, and it's a 58-yard field goal, 56-yard field goal. I go, field goal. And Bob Cassullo, the special teams coach, he says, are you out of your mind? He's drunk. He can't make it. I go, field goal. I actually wanted him to miss. He hit it right down the middle. I met him on the near half. Great. Love you, brother. As long as you can play.
Only in New Orleans. Only in New Orleans.
He was face.
He was bleep face. You can hear.
That's. I wonder how his. Has he ever opened up Janikowski on his like how he managed that part of his personality?
I've never heard. It'd be a great podcast, though. And you know who would be a great person to do that podcast? John Gruden. I'd love to hear Gruden talking with Sebastian Janikowski about it. Janikowski
that's
wound
the
up
stuff
having
that
a
analytic. That's the stuff that coaches have to factor in that the analytical charts don't tell you. Like, okay, great. I understand the game situation, but what do you do about the fact that your kicker, that you can actually smell alcohol on your kicker's breath?
And he was
out. You know, that's a real world thing, man.
He ended up playing 17 seasons for the Raiders.
I know. That's what's so crazy about
it.
Now, it's not like he was playing the most physically grueling position in all of sports.
No. But he almost drank his way out of the league early on. That's the thing, you know. So
remember too, didn't he have a? Did he have some kind of issue, a GHB scenario?
He did.
The worst thing about that whole thing was the headline. The writers kept framing it as he was caught with the date rape drug GHB, which, like, all right, that's not the fair way to put that, because it implies that he had it. Like, people use it recreationally.
Yeah.
It's not like, but it made it seem like he was much worse than just a guy with substance abuse issues.
June 22nd, 2000. This is the summer after he had been drafted in the first round by the Raiders, like a couple months later. Sebastian Janikowski is unlikely to be deported even if convicted on charges of possession of the, quote, date rape drug.
And it said that in the headline, right?
This is the first paragraph of the article I'm looking at. And the INS got involved. Immigration and Naturalization Service officials said Thursday that a resident alien with 5 years residency, such as Janikowski, probably would not face deportation until a second drug offense.
No, I just remember, it's one of those things, it's like dicey to get in and be like, hey, lots of people use GHG for a good time.
Yeah.
But that, it was unfair that they kept calling it a date rape drug, because you can use lots of drugs for various different reasons, but it was almost implying an intent behind why he had the GHB.
They do it in this article.
He's going to be a Darren Sharper or something.
Florida
State
Police arrested Janikowski this week and charged him with possession of the designer drug GHB, also known as the date rape drug. So there you go. Yeah. It was 25 years ago, so I don't think we're doing anything irresponsible by reading these articles from back in 2000, but that's...
We're citing the fact that it wasn't fair that they were doing it.
But that happened a couple months after he was drafted in the first round as a kicker, and then according to Gruden, the guy gets to his rookie season, and he's still going out in the French Quarter till 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
That's with the arrest already on his rap sheet. He's out till 3 in the morning breaking curfew. Real strict group, those Raiders, huh?
Yeah. To say nothing of drafting a kicker in the kicker in the first round.
Yeah.
I wonder these days. I don't think there's any teams that would quite have the tolerance for. He might not get drafted higher than the fifth round, with kind of the known rap sheet and or just like reports from his college and everything.
They'd have a lot of intel on him in 2025. Way more than they had back in 2000, probably. All right, final segment coming up. We'll find out what the question of the day is with the guys on In the Loop. The one thing the Texans need to do better, according to Nick Caserio, and the NFL head coach death pool, the score just keeps getting run up for this one head coach that looks likely to be the first one fired. We will get to that in the final segment as well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried-and-true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Hey, we should mention this real quick. We mentioned it earlier in the show, but there may be some of you who were listening later yesterday and contributed to our charitable effort with the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation. You deserve to hear what the results were of it. We were raising money to be able to buy books for underprivileged kids who don't have any books in their home. 61% of kids in Houston don't have a single book in the home. We raised $46,000 yesterday, thanks to all of you that contributed or got word out about it. $46,000 means over 1,500 home libraries for kids that are going to be bought and selected by them. So they get to pick their books, and they're going to do that later on this year. So big thank you to everybody who contributed to that. If you want to, if you didn't get a chance to yesterday, you want to just double check and see. I don't know if the text is still up, but you can text yesterday at least new books, all one word, to 41444 to contribute. So if you moved to contribute and you didn't get to yesterday, give it a try today. Otherwise, you can go to the website for the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation, and I am certain there's a button that says donate now on that website for sure.
Yes, and that's spelled new, N-E-W.
Correct.
For those of you who want to contribute to literacy but maybe struggle yourselves.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not N-U books.
No.
It's new books,
no.
N-E-W.
N-E-W, we spell correctly in this endeavor. Here was Nick Caserio on Texans All Access. What's the one thing the Texans need to do better if they're going to beat Tampa Bay?
We just have to play Houston Texan football and just play disciplined football and focus on the little things. I mean, when you go back and look at some of the plays, I mean, if I was covering you man-to-man coverage and that was my assignment, my eyes are somewhere else,
right,
that leads to a big play. I mean, that's fixable. That's correctable. So the key is, as a player, don't try to do too much. Just do the things that you're coached to do. I think sometimes, especially on week one, you're so amped up, you're trying to do more than you really need to do. Just go out there and focus on your assignment, each play, and then at the end of the game, hopefully look up the scoreboard, and, you know, we've had more good plays than they have.
We brought up the Petrie play on 3rd and 8. Yeah. Nick may have also been referring to the Lassiter,
yeah,
the Davis Allen touchdown there.
Yeah, 100%. And I think the cool thing about that is that I think the game plan in that game was, hey, Stafford hasn't practiced much. He's got back concerns. They're probably going to try to run the football. Let's stuff the run and force him into the pass, and then there we've got him, right where we want him. The first part of the plan went incredibly well.
The problem is
it went too well. They shut down the rushing attack very, very effectively, but they lost sight of just, yeah, playing intelligent football. And Stafford was really good on play action in that game. Very, very good on play action in that game, and it was obvious, you know, that the Texans suffered from it. I think some of that is at least partly also, like Nick was saying, it's week one, guys are amped up, you're trying to do everything. But then, you know, again, I'm not going to be a grumpy old man about it, but guys just don't play that much real football during the preseason. And when you start talking about play action, that especially, and I don't care how many joint practices you do, you can't even tell whether you're stopping the run in a joint practice because nobody's allowed to tackle. Like, your urgency, if you're a defensive back especially, and you're not playing tackle football, you're just in a joint practice and going up against your own team, what are you more concerned about? Like, I don't want to get torched in a pass. I got to be sure I look good in coverage. You get into an actual game and you know you got to tackle people to the ground, and then all of a sudden the intensity's ratcheted up that much more. I'm not excusing it. I'm explaining it. The Texans didn't do a good job of making that adjustment.
Yeah.
They were just a little too dialed into stopping the run. And then situationally, especially, they got to understand when it's 3rd and 8.
Yeah.
Like, back off a little, bro.
Yeah.
That's not the end of the world if they rush for 5 yards on 3rd and 8.
This is 2 years in a row where the opener that the issue defensively was leaky pass cover. I mean, last year the opener was Anthony Richardson hitting literally 450-yard bombs in the game against the Texans defensively. I mean, so maybe it has something to do with the it being the opener. It's been 2 weeks since we played football and we're ready to go. You know, we're on
Jimmy
the road.
Ward also, I think part of that, though, too, was, man, you saw that Jimmy Ward had lost a step, I think. That was, he was just, he had a hard time keeping up with Alec Pierce on at least one of them. One was just a blown coverage. And I can't remember, was it Stingley or Lasseter that blew the coverage to the one that Anthony Richardson airmailed?
Stingley. It was Stingley. It was Stingley.
But again, week one, I wonder if when you've got a bunch of guys who are kind of wired for violence and it's week one and they finally get to hit people, that you get a little bit of sloppiness there. Not an excuse, but hopefully an explanation.
I like the swarm mentality. I think there is broken glass that comes with the swarm mentality. I think... Some of the penalties that are aggression penalties that D'Amico has by and large excused, that comes with it. You're going to have 15-yard penalties because of the aggression that these guys play with.
That's like if you have a vicious law firm on retainer, you got to be judicious in when you use it because sometimes you don't want to use it right off the bat or too aggressively because you can fracture a relationship.
Yeah.
And the Texans fractured their relationship with their good pass defense.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. You might get the wrong judge, man. You might get the wrong judge with that aggressive lawyer. All right, Mike McDaniel. Played some Mike McDaniel audio yesterday. Seth and I have a head coach death pool that most of you know about. We each picked four head coaches, and the goal is to pick the one that gets fired first. Seth won last year with Robert Saleh. I have Mike McDaniel, who prior to this press conference, of which we're about to hear a cut from in a moment, he was 1-4. I would to be the first head coach fired. I would listen to this cut and move it to like 1-10. After that, like, Mike McDaniel is a mess right now. This is Mike McDaniel being asked about Tua Tagovailoa.
I think I saw quarterback play that was less than to be desired, which Tua absolutely knows. But that was he's the captain of the franchise quarterback, and everybody kind of fell victim to something similar. I also know that he's very much like a lot most quarterbacks, to be honest, where you're putting a lot of work into something and your first time doing it for a collective four quarters in months, you're not at your best. My biggest thing is I don't want to make the same mistakes twice. I don't want to have things happen for no reason or in vain. You make them purposeful by improving upon the things that you failed at and then making sure that your teammates do the same. So he's comfortable with that in terms of it. You know, we need to be better collectively. He and everybody else needs to be better for us to get done what we want to get done.
I need to I need to bend it back. I need to go look at the transcript of the Dolphins press conferences and see if they actually transcribe all the
The transcript initially was he's very, very much like most quarterbacks, to be honest. That was the person that tweeted it out. How they had transcribed
Dude,
it.
Dude, he's a mess right now.
He sounds a lot like, if you ever, anybody just search on YouTube, David Foster Wallace, who is a very, very intelligent, interesting writer, but he was thinking abstract thoughts as he's talking. So he kind of talked, almost sounded like he might've been smoking or something, but he was saying deeper stuff. I don't think David Foster Wallace would have been a good head football coach. I think he was really good at what he did as a writer, but it's different when you're a head football coach, I think. I feel like this is the problem, is I recognize this trait. Mike McDaniel played at Yale, and I think he's perpetually, to me, sounds like the athlete who's in a comparative literature class and trying to keep up. That just like, oh boy, I gotta try to sound like I'm saying something deep here. We're 2-4 upon, yes, that analogy that I thought, yes, sure. The Great Depression and so forth. So Gatsby. Yes.
It sounds very specific.
It sounds like me and my comparative literature class.
I'm feeling something here. That's funny.
I was wondering if that was just Ivy League shade.
No, that was just me. Yeah, like any of me or any of my classmates at a
You're sympathizing with Mike McDaniel right now.
Yeah.
Class full of valedictorians. Absolutely.
Well, really, we have to look back to the old rule. You know what? Advice for the kids. This is what I when I got to school, I didn't have the background that some of these kids did, because I did several English classes like comparative literature and stuff, and I realized early on, I'm like, oh, these highfalutin bastards are just, they're doing the same thing we do, which is they're quoting Fletch or they're quoting Animal House. They're just doing it with books.
Yeah.
Like once that hit, right. I was like, oh, that's all they're doing.
I can do
they're
this.
They're just doing the exact same thing. Oh, as long as you read the book, you're just, they're pulling some Chaucer quote or something out of their butts the same way I can recite the entire script of Animal House.
Yeah, okay. So Seth is like, heretofore, ipso facto, Mr. Blutarski, 0.0. Yes.
Like the dude at the bar in Goodwill Hunting.
Oh, that guy. Yeah. He did not do any favors for Ivy Leaguers.
Speaking of Ivy Leaguers,
you'll be serving me and my kids fries on a ski trip, is what he told Matt Damon. I'm going to have to go watch Goodwill Hunting.
Not to hijack.
Yeah.
But Seth was talking about the Ivy League. Did you see what Ryan Fitzpatrick said?
I did.
That is awesome.
What did he say?
He said he took kind of a mental, arithmetic toll, accounting is what the word I was looking for, of his 8 roommates at Harvard. Yeah. And he ranks 6th in terms of career
income.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
First roommate.
The guy who invented Airbnb was one of his 8 roommates.
Was his first roommate.
Yeah, and he didn't even realize. It sounded like on this podcast he hadn't kept up with the guy. And he's like, I went and checked, and it turns out the guy invented Airbnb.
$8 billion.
Yeah. Well, I'll find that audio.
I need Seth to do the same thing.
Oh.
Yeah, Cornell's not quite in that same category. There's a lot of Harvard people,
Oh, man. Yeah, that was funny.
I'm 8th. I'm 6th.
Yeah, I'm 6th out of 8 people. And Fitzy's like one of the top 35 quarterbacks.
17 years or whatever it was.
Like, you would be, you guys wouldn't probably, but like the audience might be shocked at how high Ryan Fitzpatrick is up the career earnings board in the NFL. Like, it's wild how high he is on it.
Well, not high enough.
Yeah. No,
I've got one friend that, it's funny because, you don't really ask people about like their finances or anything, but I had one friend that all of a sudden was like, had a scholarship named after him and everything. And I'm like, okay. I know a lot of these guys, like, I don't know what the hell they do on Wall Street, but there's this one that all of a sudden like, I was not invited to that event. What's that all about? I see what's going on here.
I know. I get the Notre Dame magazine.
I look forward to seeing you being sanctioned by the SEC.
Yeah, exactly. Notre Dame magazine, or as I like to call it, my monthly reminder of how much less money I've made than everybody I went to school with.
See, that's why y'all should have gone to a state school that was not the flagship.
Yeah, see?
See, that doesn't happen to me.
Got a chance to rank at the tippity top. Yes.
Even then. I still don't think I'm going through there.
Hey, by the way, Crosstalk brought to you by D&M Auto Leasing. All right, fellas, question of the day.
You saw Adam Silver, didn't you?
Yeah, we played the audio a little bit
earlier.
Foot
in mouth.
Yeah, the audio where he talks about, hey, guys, we put a lot of highlights out on social media.
And they're free.
Why so upset about all this streaming money?
He said it's a highlights-based sport.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the TV and streaming partners are thrilled with
that. Yeah, that's a good point. They've got to be really excited about spending billions of dollars on a league where the commissioner just says, just watch the highlights on Twitter.
You'll get the gist of it.
Right. It's the cliff notes. Yeah.
So what is a highlight you could watch a million times?
Okay. Mine is one that I think you were in the building for Catholics versus Convicts, right?
Yes.
Pat Terrell knocking away the 2-point conversion to win 31-30 in that.
That's one of the first major games I covered.
It was
87? 88.
October 15th, 1988.
I remember that.
The same day that Kirk Gibson hit the home run.
That's exactly right. That's why I remember that.
At coaches or some bar in South Bend watching that game.
That's exactly
I wish I'd invited you to the campus party there, the off-campus party.
I would have been there. No, I remember
you would have watched my friend John Perugina get hit over the head with a hockey stick.
Ooh. Who doesn't want to see that?
Yeah.
I remember it because of Kirk Gibson and It was really the kind of the first big national game I covered.
Huge, yeah.
And my wife was pregnant with our firstborn.
There you go. Yeah. All right. What about you, Seth?
I'm trying to think of a sports one, but the thing that keeps coming back into my mind, because I'm laughing at it to myself right now, I laugh every single time I watch Dumb and Dumber, and it's a scene where they're
you can go that way
where they've lost everything. They're standing next to the pond, and Harry doesn't have any gloves on, and he says, "My hands are freezing," and Lloyd says, "Oh, here, you can borrow one of mine. I've got two." And Harry loses it and starts strangling Lloyd. And Lloyd says, "Harry, your hands are freezing." It's the most brilliant.
Hey, I just added maybe even movie highlights to the
movie
question.
Highlights,
I just added that.
Oh, that's going to be a tough question.
Like, there are scenes from The Sopranos that I will watch on almost the scene where the scene from the best episode ever, the Pine Barrens episode, where Chrissy and Polly get trapped in the woods in the snow.
Gorgeous.
The phone reception is terrible.
It's so good.
They're trying to talk to Tony. And the guy they're chasing in the woods is some Russian Green Beret. Yeah. And Tony's like, "This guy killed 16 Chechen rebels. He was part of the Interior Ministry." And they hang up the phone, and Paulie was on the phone with Tony. And he looks at Chrissy and goes, "This guy killed 16 Czechoslovakians. He was an interior decorator." And Chrissy goes, "His apartment looked like bleep." So that I can watch. You know what else I watch quite a bit? It's not a highlight, kind of is. Since the Texans have become good again, I go back and watch the night that C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson got drafted. That 10 minutes.
That's a weird one.
That 10 minutes where C.J. gets picked, they interview him, and then the Texans trade
the crowd,
up to get
you can hear
Will
the crowd.
Anderson.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in the crowd at Miller Outdoor Theater with my in-laws and with Amy. And you could, they've got the cameras at Miller Outdoor, and just reliving that, because it's been... I know they haven't been to a Super Bowl or an AFC title game yet, but that has been to this point a transformative 10 minutes in where this franchise is, especially compared to where it was the 3 years before that. So I watched that one
a
lot.
That's an interesting highlight, air quotes.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, I don't know if the semantics of highlight fit that.
No, I think that fits the ethos, though, just something that you could go back to, and it seems like you do.
I love. Mm-hmm. I do. I go back and watch that quite a bit, man, just to go back and relive that, because I think they hit on both those guys.
Is that when you just like, I need a little dopamine hit. Let me go.
Yeah, sometimes.
Let me pull up YouTube quick.
Sometimes, Sometimes the algorithm feeds it to me, you know?
That's
like,
nice.
You haven't watched this in a month. I feel like you need this here.
Altuve with Aroldis Chapman.
Yep.
100%. Kind of smiling afterwards, obviously. Like, that's and it's more and more fun just because of all of the conspiracy theories and everything afterwards. Like, that I enjoy it. That's kind of like I get a bleep eating grin on my face just thinking about the misery it's caused the baseball.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I just wish they'd won the World Series that year. It takes like a tenth of the starch out of it, but it is a great moment.
Yordan's 22 home run in Game 6, because it landed one section over from us.
No kidding.
We were in the stadium.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild.
So, you're watching that, but you're looking at the crowd like,
both.
That's me.
Both.
That's right there.
Yeah. My wife and I were in that game, in one section over.
And that did win the World Series. Man, there's certain guys. By the way, you're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM HD2, Houston and Odyssey Sports Edition. I want to make sure I get that in before 10:05. And Crosstalk is brought to you by D&M Leasing. Mm. Check all the boxes.
Yeah.
There's certain guys that you can do a whole show of, like, picking a highlight. Like you do, maybe not a whole show, but I feel like you do an hour on Andre Johnson highlights throughout the
years. J.J. Watt, I asked
J.J. Watt 2014. Highlights. You could do just a show on J.J. and Andre highlights.
Yeah.
Crazy. My favorite Andre is the one where five guys bounced off of him. I think it was only three, but I like to tell my kids it was five.
Is it a good story if you don't tweak it up a little bit? You know?
You got to amp it up.
Arizona Cardinals
2009.
I remember very proudly, because I came in the next day, you know, we were doing the show.
Yeah.
And I said, when he makes it into the Hall of Fame, that highlight is going to be shown repeatedly.
Yes.
And sure enough.
You nailed it, man. You absolutely nailed it. And I like the safety in the inaugural game against the Cowboys to make it 19-10.
Certainly.
I actually do rewatch that one. I'm not just saying that to blow smoke up Seth's skirt here. I like rewatching that, because the crowd was incredible at that game.
Yeah.
That inaugural game for the Texans, it's like that game was played on a different planet when it comes to the crowd. That was incredible.
100%.
Yeah. Incredible crowd that night. All right, Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies to you and all of your Chechenian pals.
Chechen. 16 Czechoslovakians.
Chechen or Chechnian?
I think it's Chechen is how Tony said it.
Yeah.
And Paulie said Czechoslovakia. I love that show. All right, we're done. We're out of time. I gave you your FCC disclaimer, so let's get right to it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.